Welcome to the Disrupting Obesity Podcast. I'm Charlotte Skanes, and I'll be sharing ways to regain control over your body and lose an extreme amount of weight naturally. Being fat is about so much more than just the food. It's about your relationship with food. That means that dealing with your weight is about more than just the food too. You have to change that relationship. You have to start disrupting obesity. I can't believe that I've made it to 50 episodes. When I started, I kept hearing that most podcasts didn't make it to the 20 episode mark, right? Most people give up before they reach that point. So I was totally fixated, completely fixated on getting to episode number 20. And I dedicated that episode to my hero, Richard Simmons. I miss him so much. And I probably shouldn't veer off already, but it makes sense to talk about him today too, right? That man's compassion still inspires the absolute shit out of me. Just the kindness, right? He never makes anybody feel ashamed. And we need him so badly right now. But he's back. He's on Facebook posting the most beautiful and encouraging stories. He's well worth the follow. Go find him. So I did that whole episode on how much I miss Richard Simmons and why. And then the next episode, it was a really big one for me. It meant that I'd made it over this invisible goal line that I'd set. And I really opened myself up about myself and some of the things that I've been through. These episodes all have to be produced and not by me. That is a skill set that I don't have. And that whole process takes time. So I record them a couple of weeks in advance and then they get put out every Monday. Episode 21 came out when I was in the hospital, but it was recorded before there was even an inkling that I was going to get sick. I'd had emergency surgery in the middle of the night right before it came out, and it was an unbelievably close call. It wasn't my pancreas this time, though. My kidneys have decided that it's their turn, so I'm just rolling with it. But because of the timing of it all, I didn't have time to think about which episode number to obsess over next, and then I just forgot. And here we are at 50. You've listened from 89 different countries, which never stops blowing my mind. And I've even made it onto the podcast charts in a whack of them too. Sometimes even the top 10, and a handful of times now I've held the number one spot for a day or two on different podcast charts in different countries. I never expected things to move this quickly, but I'm so grateful and a little overwhelmed, but mostly just grateful. It hasn't even been a year yet. It won't be a year yet until May. Crazy coincidence time, if you believe in those. I don't. But I didn't manufacture this moment. I chose to have my podcast released on Mondays when I launched it last May because it made sense and that was what I was advised to do. And I had no idea that when my 50th episode aired, it would also be my 45th birthday. Or that it would be our 11th Ask Whatever episode. And that's significant because I'm obsessed with prime numbers. And 11 is one of my favorites. But when I started the podcast, I didn't know that I would even be doing Ask Whatever episodes. They didn't come on until, I think, oh gosh, I don't know, last summer, maybe last fall. So here we are. The issue isn't whether or not I can get through 11 questions, since I'm pretty sure my record is 16, but it's whether or not I can stay on topic. So I'm going to do my absolute best. And there's no shortage of questions. Just keep them coming. There are no bad or stupid questions, and you don't have to ask them publicly. If you've been listening for a while, or if you watch the Ask Whatever series on my Instagram feed or my YouTube channel, you'll know that I don't identify or embarrass anybody. I know that we do have the good for you, Gladys, question of the week. And it isn't that those are bad questions, or even that I'm necessarily trying to embarrass anybody. I don't identify the Gladyses either. But they're not bad questions. They're just opportunities to talk. This week's is a doozy, and we'll get there. But first, let's take a look at these. How do you not think about food all day? Staying in a deficit means I'm constantly thinking about my calorie budget and what my next meal or snack will be. So we beat ourselves up over this one, but we really shouldn't, because if you're working to change your relationship with food, technically, you should be thinking about food. It's actually a very good thing that it's not a mindless pursuit anymore. Sometimes giving yourself permission to think about food makes you think about it less. I know that's counterintuitive, but it's true. Framing it as a positive thing instead of a negative one, that's going to help you too. You can tell yourself that you're choosing to think about food now. even if it's just thoughts about how hungry you are or what you wish you could eat or how you wish you had more calories that day. 3A weigh it. You want to be very aware of your internal dialogue and narrative about food. That's a good thing. Not paying attention to what you're telling yourself about food has gotten you into a lot of trouble. Acknowledge what you're thinking and feeling. It's okay to be a little consumed with this stuff right now. You're making changes. You're not going to make an omelet without breaking some eggs. Accountability lies in telling yourself that it's okay to have these thoughts because you're an active participant in all of this now. You're not just along for the ride anymore, and this is temporary. You're not going to be doing this forever. You're doing it for now so that you can get your weight under control. Once that's done and you're in maintenance mode, things are going to be very different. Can we disregard the calories in some vegetables like they do in some weight loss programs? I love this question, but I already know that not everybody's going to love the answer because no, you can't. They all count. When I build out my recipes, I include the calories from the spices. And yeah, it may only be 45 calories worth of cumin and 30 from the garlic powder, you know, plus 4 calories of dill and 9 calories of pepper and half a dozen each from the thyme and the sage. But it all adds up. It contributes. Those spices are a couple cookies worth of calories. So yeah, the vegetables count. All of them. Do I think you need to be obsessive about it? No. I used the spices as an extreme example of the way calories can build to demonstrate on a micro level what can happen on the macro level if you stop counting bigger things like vegetables. But I also need to see your vegetable list because sure, eat plain celery all day. You can't do that with carrots though, or beans. Cabbage and onions, fill your boots. But I've had people tell me they stopped counting potatoes, and that's really not a great idea. And really, it's not the vegetable that's the real problem here. The veggies are just the vehicle. They're the delivery method for something else. Because, okay, fine, eat the potatoes. But how many people eat them plain? Just like roasted or boiled with nothing added. Plain potatoes. I don't know a lot of people who are passionate about plain celery either. Sure, it's nice when you dip it in peanut butter or cheese. But, you know, just like a potato, it's a nice, bland vehicle for lovely, delicious other things. But it's crunchy instead of starchy. And I want to give kudos, serious kudos, to the person who asked this question just a little while ago, actually, because they asked and then immediately said that they had an idea of what my answer was going to be, but they just wanted to check. So thank you for sending that in, because if you're thinking it, somebody else is probably thinking it too. It's not always just about the calories either. Sometimes it's about the awareness and it's about not half-assing it so that you can build some trust back with yourself. It's one thing to be in a mindset where you know, for sure you know how many calories you're at and whether or not you're in a deficit. If you're not tracking things like vegetables, you don't actually know what's going on and that doesn't feel very safe. It's uncertainty and insecurity. That's why I refer to calorie tracking as a safety net. It gives you the confidence to put yourself out there, to try. It's like a trapeze artist. The net gives them courage to fly because they know they're not going to smash their face in, right? If you're tracking everything that you're eating, you can be confident that you're doing what you need to do to get the weight off and you can keep going, you can keep trying. How long did it take you to lose so much weight? Good question. It took me just under 2.5 years to lose 201 pounds. I kept it off for nearly a decade, and then I gained back about 115 pounds of it in just over 2.5 years. It took nearly 1.5 years to lose all that the second time, and I've now had it off for about 6 years, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm at the gym doing my modified, quote-unquote, workouts several days a week, and I'm getting stronger. And that's the thing. I have to get stronger. I have 3 little boys and an amazing life and so much to do. But the last 2 years have taught us that I can still get very, very sick very fast. And there isn't a lot I can do about that except for make my body stronger. And I can follow the dietary advice with things like my sodium intake and try to get my citrate levels up. I manage my diabetes as best as I can. And except for when I was hospitalized 2 years ago, I've been off insulin for 7 years. So I have to fight to keep my weight stable and build muscle mass because when I get sick, I go down hard. And that usually means I'm not moving a lot, if at all. And I lose the progress muscle-wise that I've made very, very fast. If I gain weight, I make all of it harder. and I'm not going back on insulin. I'm not. But with that missing bit of my pancreas, I have to be really careful. And if I gain weight, what's left of my pancreas isn't going to be able to handle it. And I'm going to be back on the insulin. And my kidneys can't take any extra weight either. So yeah, I have to fight to stay where I'm at. But it's not nearly as hard as losing the weight. It becomes second nature. In some ways, I feel lucky that the consequences are so extreme for me when it comes to gaining weight back. It's not abstract and far off. It's as immediate and urgent as it can get. If I gain weight, I will get sick and die. So it's really in my face. And that's not the case for everybody, right? I mean, I think we all know that there are consequences for obesity, but it's not as blatant for most people. It's always swinging over my head. And yeah, maybe I am a little paranoid, but I think I've got a right to be. And I'm not letting it slow me down. So I'm just trying to balance out both. And I try not to feel sorry for myself, right? I try to frame things in a way that just makes them easier to bear. My biggest fear is that I'm going to gain my weight back. Okay, so I know that's not a question, but it's close enough and we need to talk about it because I hear it pretty much every day. First off, it's an extremely reasonable fear. It's completely reasonable. You have every right to be afraid that you'll gain it back. Most people do. I actually think it's worse to not be afraid of it and just assume that so long as you can get it off, you'll keep it off. We know that's not the case. That's just not how it works. Here's the thing. If you're worried about it, that means that it's on your radar and you're less likely to just bury your head in the sand and hope for the best. You know you have to do something to make sure you don't gain it back. You need to work on your relationship with food. And like I just said with the last question, it becomes second nature to keep an eye on things and maintain a healthy weight. It does get easier. You get used to it. So it's all right to be scared. Do the work now and that fear will lessen. Lose your weight in a sustainable way and your maintenance will be far more sustainable too. If I'm cooking and the box of orzo says 200 calories a serving, does that mean before or after it's cooked? That is a great question. Before. Typically the weight on the package is for the pasta before it's cooked. It's going to absorb a lot of water and it's going to weigh a lot more after it's been cooked. What led to your regain, especially after so long? Loss, pain, emotional pain, lots of it. Sean and I lost our first three pregnancies and I was really struggling. I knew I was going to gain weight because of the way I was eating. I think it would have been obvious to anybody with the way I was eating that I was going to gain weight. But after we lost our third, I just didn't care anymore. I knew that I could get it off. And I needed to eat. That's what I had to do. Fertility struggles and obesity have their own terrible spiral too. Obesity can lead to complications and difficulty with fertility, which only makes some of us want to eat more, which makes the obesity worse, which further complicates our fertility struggle, and on it goes. It's a really tough one, but yeah, that's fertility struggles, I guess, to put it very briefly, was how I regained so much of my weight back. But what do I recommend as a potato chip substitute? Like, what can I eat the most of? There really isn't a substitute for potato chips. They're a pretty singular experience. Popcorn is my knee-jerk reaction. High volume for very few calories. Air popped, it's 40 calories a cup. You hit it with some of that butter-flavored zero-calorie cooking spray and some of those flavor sprinkles, and you're good to go. You can get the same flavors as chips, ketchup, dill pickles, salt and vinegar, whatever. And there's a whole bunch of them, and you can get zero-calorie ones. So the popcorn holds at 40 calories a cup, and that's pretty damn good. It doesn't get a lot better than that when it comes to volume. Pickles are another good one. Salty and crunchy, right? We're trying to find things in common with potato chips. It took me a long time, but I like rainbow peppers and dip now. I had to transition to it pretty slowly though. Like I only did carrots and cucumbers with dip for years. And then I added cauliflower and broccoli. Snap peas, I added those too. I still can't do green peppers, but I like the orange, red, and yellow ones with dip. But I make a low calorie dip or I use low calorie salad dressing. I used to use vegetables as basically an edible spoon for dip. and I wasn't eating the low calorie ones because I love sauces and dips, but they're a pour. And conventionally, they're very calorie dense. There's lots of calories for a very small amount of it. Spread, sprinkle, pour. If you're doing one of those three things, you need to be super aware of the calorie count and what it's doing to your day. They're also the perfect place to start looking for the easier calories to cut to get yourself into a deficit. Check out episode 17 if you want more on dealing with spread, sprinkle, and pour. Did you adjust your calories as you lost weight? How? Yes, I did. And you will too. Your app is likely already recalculating for you as you enter your weekly weigh-ins, but you can check it yourself just using an online TDEE calculator. You're going to drop a few calories every 5 to 10 pounds. It's nice to do it gradually this way because it gives you a chance to adjust, which is far more sustainable. How many calories do you eat in a day? It varies. And I don't always track anymore. I've been doing it for so long that I've got a pretty good idea of where I'm at most of the time anyway. And it's just not something that I'm consciously thinking of unless my weight has gone up by a few pounds. My TDEE, when I'm maintaining, which is pretty much all the time now, is just under 1700 calories a day. When I was at my heaviest, it was 3500 calories a day. I would love for you to touch on weight gain from medications and how to not feel shame from that. And I can definitely do that. I would love to. And I know you specifically want me to address medication, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter how you gained your weight. It really doesn't. Blaming yourself and getting caught up in a guilt and shame spiral isn't going to do anything other than keep you eating, which a part of you may want, but that's the self-sabotaging part. And that's not the part of yourself you want driving the bus right now. There's no backward. There's only forward. It doesn't matter how you gained it. Let it go. It's really hard to move forward if you're constantly looking over your shoulder. It's like riding a bike, right? You have to watch where you're going. The shame isn't helping you. And I know how hard it is to let go of it, but I promise you it does get easier. The shame starts to slide away. And the more focused you are on your relationship with food instead of your relationship with your weight, the easier it's going to be. The same goes for blame. It may be entirely the medication's fault. My weight gain really got kicked off when my doctor switched my birth control pills, and I gained 36 pounds in 6 weeks. And it was all up from there, straight line, basically up to 338. Blaming the medicine doesn't change anything. I had to get the weight off, no matter what was to blame. How do you deal with loose skin after weight loss? Okay, so I get loose skin questions every day. And I don't mind them. I'm very happy to talk about it because I think it's important. Here's the thing. Yeah, we lose weight to get healthy, but I've said it before and I'm not going to stop saying it no matter how nicely the Happy Bottom Brigade tries to shut me up about it. There's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight to change the way you look. It's not vain. It's not frivolous or stupid. You can want to lose weight because you're not happy with how you look. It's fine. Screw Gladys. She doesn't have to live in your body or look in your mirror or wear your clothes. So it's not up to her. I totally get the loose skin thing. And I feel it when someone wants to know why they should bother losing weight if they're just going to be stuck with loose skin. It's better than the alternative. That's why. And it's one of those things you have to accept as a potential risk when you're losing a lot of weight. I get it. I'm not a huge fan of my loose skin. And according to the surgeons I've seen about having it removed, I won the loose skin genetic lottery. I've been told I have about half as much as they expect with someone who's lost a couple hundred pounds. So I'm very fortunate, but I was also super aware that it was going to be a problem. And I did everything I could to try and mitigate it as I was losing my weight. I drank lots of water and I moisturized like crazy. Aside from that and the genetics, there's not a whole lot you can do. And once you've got it, there's not much you can do about it either. And it really does blow. I'm sorry. You work so hard to get the body you want. And instead of a layer of fat, you've got a layer of excess skin. The skin's the better option. Compression garments have come a long way and they're a lot more widely available and affordable. Shapewear is awesome stuff. I'll take the skin over insulin-dependent diabetes any day. I did that. I hated it. I really, really hated it. I don't want blood pressure or heart problems. I've got no interest in that. I'll take the skin. I like fitting into chairs and my bathtub, even when the skin floats. So I have my thing about the two main ways to get yourself through losing a lot of weight, right? You need to have a singular focus and you need to accept that you don't have a choice. And you don't need both of those to deal with the skin thing. Only the accepting that you don't have a choice one, because you don't. It's going to be what it is. You might win the loose skin lottery too, or you might end up with some or a fair bit of it. No matter which way it goes, it's better than keeping the weight on. And aside from the inside and outside hydration bit, there's pretty much nothing you can do about it. Oh, except for how fast you lose your weight. I forgot that part. I didn't lose my weight in a hurry. I couldn't. I went as fast as I could, but still, right? It took me just under 2.5 years to lose 200 pounds, which I still think is pretty quick, by the way. But I didn't ever have like a 50 pound month. I don't know what my best month was or even what my best week was, but I'm certain, I'm positive that I didn't even have a 25 pound month. Losing your weight consistently and slowly is going to help with the skin too. Accepting it will help. Embracing the positives that come along with weight loss will help. Focus on the good stuff. Like, I know if I didn't have the loose skin, all of my clothes would be at least one size smaller, probably two. It is what it is, but I'm not wearing skin tight size 22s or 24s anymore. And I'm not avoiding social events because of how I feel about the way that I look anymore. I can also tie my shoes without getting winded. How do you get over the temptation to binge and go over in your calories? I tell myself I've done it. I've got years under my belt of choosing to binge, choosing to go over my calories and telling myself I'll do better tomorrow. I'll go way under on my calories tomorrow. I'll eat big salads at every single meal and snack, whatever. I've done it. It's not what I want anymore. Sure, I want to binge right now, but overall, it's a no. I focus on what I want, but I tell myself that I've had it, right? I made that choice already too many times. How do you handle the real bad pains of hunger with intermittent fasting? So I've mentioned before that I feel like my hunger stays asleep until I wake it up by eating. Skip breakfast. I don't even think about lunch. I don't usually get hungry until dinner time. If I have breakfast, I'm pretty much hungry from that point on. It's not fully black and white like that, but that's mostly what it looks like for me. When I do feel hungry, particularly when I was losing my weight, I would drink something, usually pop. And I switched to diet when I started losing weight because I was drinking a minimum of 1,700 calories a day worth of cola. Now, I had 3,500 calories to play with, so I could have theoretically kept drinking regular pop, but I would rather eat my calories. So I made the switch. So I drank a lot of diet pop, a lot, like at least a couple liters a day, and water. That helps with your hunger. Your water intake is directly tied to your satiety levels and your overall satisfaction with what you're eating. I avoided gum, seriously. And I know that can be a thing, right? Chew gum and you won't want to eat. That is definitely not true. And I don't mean anecdotally. It is measurably untrue. Chewing gum makes you salivate, which makes your stomach anticipate food. And when it doesn't get it, it usually isn't very happy about that. I told myself that just because I was hungry, that didn't mean I needed to eat. I was so used to feeding even the slightest little twinge of hunger, any indication that I might possibly be able to eat. You know, like, yeah, I could eat, like that, that I'd forgotten that there's actually nothing wrong with feeling hungry. I wasn't starving myself. I was still taking in over 3,000 calories a day, or 2,500 calories a day, or 2,200 calories as I kept losing. So long as I kept going, the number of calories I had each day kept going down. But because it was a gradual process, it was going down slowly. So I had time to adjust, to acclimate myself to it, and to learn other ways to make myself feel more satisfied and more full with fewer calories. How do you handle a calorie deficit when it comes to alcohol? Can I drink during my window? How do I calculate it? So you handle it in the same way you do everything else. If it has calories, it gets the same treatment. You track it and you fit it into your day. And yes, you absolutely would drink it during your window if you're intermittent fasting, because you're not fasting if you're taking in calories. So if your window closes at 7 p.m., it's zero calorie beverages from there on out. And I know that's not an answer a lot of people like to hear. But here's the thing. Calories can't tell time. It's all about the deficit. So you may need to move your window, or maybe intermittent fasting isn't something for you and you'll just focus on keeping yourself in a deficit all the time. That's always an option. Do you have tips for someone who's pescatarian? Yes, I do. It's the same as for everybody else. Eat in a deficit. It doesn't matter what you eat, so long as you're in a deficit. Find high volume, lower calorie pescatarian foods that you enjoy and add them to your regular rotation of stuff that you eat. So we can't do, I can't do episode 50 without a good for you, Gladys, question of the week. Now, this one wasn't actually a question, but I'm not going to let that stop me because I haven't used pineapples in a recipe for a while, but that's not stopping them because somehow they keep finding the fluff one and getting torqued up about it. Okay, so Gladys mustered up her disgust and she goes, but isn't pineapple along with a syrup full of sugar? And then she put a shrug emoji. After resisting the urge to use the eye roll emoji and just ignoring her bullshit, I thought about it for a while. Because the demonizing of fruit is getting ridiculous. I mean, the whole premise is ridiculous, right? But this vilification is pretty absurd. I can't for the life of me understand why anyone would discourage someone who is trying to get a grip on obesity from eating fruit. It's not the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and it is a long list, but this one is up there. It's up there. Fruit is not the enemy. Sugar isn't the enemy. It's not about the food. It's definitely not about fruit. I want to beat the record, so we're doing 17 today. I had gastric bypass X number of years ago and eat very healthy. I try to increase my protein and I'm gaining weight. Thoughts and suggestions? Yes. It's so hard. Honestly, I know how frustrating and discouraging it is to gain weight back. Gaining it back after surgery must have an extra layer to it. I hear from women, almost every day, who've gained weight back, or their weight loss has stalled on them after surgery. The medical community is letting everybody down when it comes to obesity. And there are doctors who acknowledge that surgical intervention isn't always a permanent solution, but too often it's done without the other pieces of the puzzle, without the mindset work, without changing your relationship with food. That's what stalls you. That's what brings it back on. To address the specifics of this question, eating healthy and eating at your maintenance TDEE aren't the same thing. If you're gaining weight, you're eating in a calorie surplus. So hop onto an online TDEE calculator and get your maintenance TDEE, total daily energy expenditure. Subtract 500. That will put you in a calorie deficit. That'll stop the weight gain and you'll get back to your healthy weight. Once you're there, start adding calories back. I would do it in three chunks. Add back 100 calories the first week, 200 the second, and 200 the third. That will put you back up at your maintenance TDEE, and that's where you're going to want to be. It's hard to know what to say. 50 feels like a big thing, and I'm very grateful to you for helping me to stay brave and encouraged enough to keep going. I read every one of your messages and emails and comments, and I know I can't get back to them all right away, but I really do try because they mean the absolute world to me. Getting to share your journeys and be as helpful as I can means that I get to keep a promise I made when I got to keep living. And it feels absolutely incredible. So I could never thank you enough for that. I'm trying though. So I put out a free guide to getting started for the last time, and you can find it through the link in the notes. Thousands of people have used it to get themselves back on track and start the work of changing their relationship with food. I've also put out a weight loss workbook that you can find by searching Disruptor and my name, Charlotte Skanes, on Amazon. And if you tuned in a couple of weeks ago, you'll know that my digital cookbook is out and you can get yours today by following the link in the notes or heading to my website. Keep trying, keep tracking, don't be intimidated, and don't give up. You've totally got this.
Thank you for listening to Disrupting Obesity with Charlotte Skanes. If you know it's time to take back control, lose the weight, and keep it off, reach out to me privately with a direct message on Instagram that says ready so you can start disrupting obesity.